Good morning.
We are on Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, 31A. We are seven lines down. Hayashochet v'hitiz. We finished with the stunt shechita. The discussion now is a point that we took for granted based on Rashi when we started the sugya, and that's the issue of malot savar. We said in the Mishnah that if one knocks off the head of the whatever this is, the animal, the bird, in one shot, it's possible. And our concern was that you press into the neck doing drasa rather than doing a slicing act, the shechita, drawing it across. We actually said v'shachat u'mashach yesterday. So I saw yesterday an explanation of v'shachat u'mashach. Mashach is to draw something. So he suggested that you're drawing the animal from a lower level of kedusha to a higher level of kedusha when you shecht it. And this was following along the school of thought in general that talks about the animal being elevated when you shecht it, and the person being elevated, that you also have to draw yourself to a higher degree of kedusha in order to have the right to take a life and to eat it. All of which I think is at cross purposes with the idea of stunt shechita and shechting with an arrow in midair. I'm not sure how the two really fit. One seems a little light-headed and light frivolous, you know, compared to the other. The aval piche, nonetheless. We said in the Mishnah that when you shecht, you have to make sure that if you aren't molech umevi, if you don't bring the knife back and forth, the knife has to have melot savar, a neck's width beyond whatever it is that you're shechting. So the Gemara now deduces that, six lines down on Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, 31a. Amar Rabbi Zera said, melot savar, v'chutzlet savar, when it says that you have to have a neck's width, it means a neck's width and beyond that. So what does beyond that mean? Ibayaluhu. Malot savar v'chutzlet savar ke malot savar. Davala trait savari. Does this mean a neck's width and then another neck's width beyond that? So that you have two neck widths. I believe that's the proper plural. The Odilma. Malot savar v'chutzlet savar mashahu. Or does it just mean a neck's width and then a little bit beyond? Frankly, I could have taken Rabbi Zera very easily to mean just that. To mean malot savar v'chutzlet savar, you have a neck's width and then a little bit. Which is not the way we explained it when we read the Mishnah.
A little bit is the width of the knife if it had been a normal knife.
Whatever, it doesn't have to be. Mashu means a mashu. Whatever, you know, you can call anything that. So he says, Tashma, come and hear from the following. Where we talk about shechting two necks at once. Hayashochet v'hitis shnei rashi v'vas achas, im yesh lasakin melot savar echad kosher. There we say that if you cut two necks at once, if the knife has a neck's width, it's kosher. So my malot savar echad. What do you mean one neck's width? Ilei ma malot savar echad v'sulal. If all you need is one neck's width, then I don't understand. Hashda bebehema achas ba'ina malot savar v'chutzlet savar b'shtei behema sagilu kimalot savar echad. That makes no sense. When you're cutting one neck, you require a neck plus. Whatever the plus is, it's a neck plus. You're cutting two necks, now you just require one neck's width? That doesn't fit. Ela pshita malot savar chutz lishneit savarin. When it says a neck's width there, it means the two necks plus a neck. The shmamina malot savar chutz litzavar. And that must mean that when we say that when you're cutting one neck, you require something outside of it, it means the neck's width that you're cutting, in addition to which another neck's width. Shmamina, we concluded based on this, that's the way it works. And as Tosus pointed out, we said this already yesterday, what we require is not that you use that entire distance. That's not the point. The point is that it's there such that you can go over by a little bit at least. You don't have this constrained length for shechita. Okay. We then ask this molech u'mevi idea. We said in the Mishnah that as long as you are molech and mevi, you put the knife back and forth, any minimal width of the blade is good. Afilu kolsho, afilu beizmael. Any minimal thing, even in Ismail. So, just for reference for the sugya we're about to begin here, basing what I'm about to say on the Ramban, on Rashi, on the Shulchan Aruch, also a sefer called Yosef Das, I think I put together a decent picture of the three implements we're about to describe. One implement is a needle. Okay? It's thin, it has a point. And you're talking about shafting it, drawing the needle across the base hashrita, across the vessel. second possibility, which the concern there is going to be that you might puncture the trachea, the esophagus, rather than slice it with an active shechita. Then you have a leather worker's needle, machta de ushkafi, and the leather worker's needle is pointed like a needle is, but it's thicker. It has a wider surface that you would call the blade. And there's less of a concern for jabbing into it. The Ran, quoted by the Zerach Toda on the Shulchan Aruch, says that the concern when you're dealing with a leather worker's needle is actually do-reis. That in going back and forth, you might press into the neck at some point. And then the least concern is regarding an Izamel or an Ismail, which is more like a razor blade. It has a longer cutting side. And that has the least concern. It's generally not pointed at the end, although we'll see in our discussion that it may happen. So keeping that in mind, our greatest concern is with a needle. Secondary concern with our second level of concern with a leather worker's needle. And then the least concern is an Izamel. So Amar of Menashe. Rav Menashe says, when we say in the Mishnah that you are able to use an izemel and even a kol shehu, he says that's be izemel she'ein lo karnayim. That's talking about where it's a blade that doesn't have literally horns on the end. And the way they explain this, I'll show you with my pencil here. The way they explain this classically is you have your blade, and then at the end it actually curves up. Not up, literally up, because it depends on your plane that you're looking at it at. But it curves and has like a forked end to it. So it's coming up, making an angle, and it has two points on there.
It's like a cheese knife.
Yeah? Okay, a cheese knife will do that. Okay. I accept that. I actually can't think I've seen a cheese knife. He's a gourmet. So the point is that this is done just for beauty purposes. It's not done for functionality. I mean, the cheese knife, maybe there's actually a function to it. Rashi just says it's lanoid.
It curls up the piece. You're slicing.
Okay. So the concern here that we have in using it with the karnayim, Rashi explains, is either chalada. We're worried that you're actually going to end up curving in that curve that it makes when it curves up towards the point. You may end up poking that beneath one of the simanim and doing chalada, or alternatively, that you might end up puncturing one of the trachea or the esophagus with those points.
The razor is small, so you might just
right.
Slip.
So that's out. When we say in the Mishnah you can use an Izemel, we mean one that doesn't have this forked ending. Amar le Rav Acha Breder of Avia le Rav Menashe. So Rav Acha Breder of Avia says to Rav Menashe, Machta Mai, what about a needle? So Amar le Machta Mivza Baza. He says a needle is going to potentially puncture it. It's going to cut into it via the point of it. That's no good. It's going to make a hole. It's going to tear. No way. Machta de ushkafi mai. What about the thicker needle that the leather worker uses? That's less of a problem, we know. So Amar le Tanena, he says we learned that. Afilu kol shehu. We said even kol shehu. My love, machta de ushkafi. Isn't that talking about machta de ushkafi? The leather worker's one, and it's saying it's all right. To which he says, "Lo, not necessarily. Izemel. Maybe that was just to include the izemel, which is the least concern out of the three that we mentioned. But machta de ushkafi would be out." To which he says, well, you didn't need to include Izemel in Kol Shehu. Izemel Behedya Katani Law. The Mishnah said Izemel is good. Afilu Izemel, Afilu Kol Shehu. So therefore you don't, or the other way around. Afilu Kol Shehu, Afilu Be Izemel. So that's not what Kol Shehu means. To which he says, maybe not. Maybe you should read the law in this way. Parushe Kamafarish. It was explaining itself. It said, even Kol Shehu. And then my Kol Shehu, what is a Kol Shehu? Izemel. Maybe that's the way the Mishnah meant to read, and we're excluding Machta de Ushkafi. And Hachanami Mistaber, that makes sense. De Isa Gadaitach Machta de Ushkafi, because if you think that we do mean to include the leather worker's needle, Hashta Machta de Ushkafi Sharia Izemel Mebaya. If you really meant to include Machta de Ushkafi, why would you have had to say the Izemel is all right? Right? Once you're telling me that I can use a needle, for sure I can use a razor blade. Granted, it's a thicker brand of needle, but it's still not as hard to imagine. It's still not as easy to use as a razor blade would be. To which he says, maybe not. maybe there's a reason why I would have excluded Izemel, and that I needed to mention Izemel, even though Machta de Ushkafi is okay. Izemel Itzrichale, you still needed to mention Izemel, because Salka Daita Chamina, I would have thought to say, Ligzer Izemel She'en Lo Karnayim, unto Izemel She'yesh Lo Karnayim, I would have said, we don't want you, like Rabbi Nasha said, we don't want you using the Izemel that has this forked ending. So I might have said, don't use an Izemel that doesn't have a forked ending. Don't use any Izemel, lest you use the ones that have the forked ending. Kamash Malan, and therefore needed to say Izemel, teach me that's okay. So maybe you could read our Mishnah to say Izemel is good and Machta de Ushkafi is good. The leatherworker's needle is good as well. In practice, in the Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya Simen Ches, they don't accept the Machta of any kind, no needles at all. What they do accept is the Izemel. Okay. So that's our.
Needle you cut with the.
So I believed here when I first read this that it actually meant to use the side of it, and the concern was it would come around to hitting it with the point. When I first read this, and I thought that was what it meant. And the machta de ushkafi was what led me to believe that Rashi said she piyosav chadudin. I thought meant the edge, not the point at the end. I'm sorry.
Couldn't you just scrape?
You could theoretically. It was just the language of the Mefarshim. It wasn't just this Rashi, but in general, that made me think that it wasn't that. It was that you were actually going to cut with the long side, and the concern was that you might end up puncturing with the point if it got caught on it.
It has to be sharp with the side.
I would think.
It only makes sense with
or patience. I mean, certainly with an animal, it's hard to imagine going through the hide, with the end, with the long side of it. It is kind of hard to imagine. Then again, shechita with an arrow is also hard for me to imagine. So you have to test my ability to understand something I haven't done.
Shechita in general is hard to imagine.
Well, but it happens.
Yeah.
Okay, Mishnah. New discussion now. We're done with the implements, and we're now into Kavana, and the question of whether you need a person's action and whether you need a person's intent. So the Mishnah says, Nafla sakin v'shachta, a knife falls in shechts. Ava pisha shachta kidarka, even if it does the shechita properly, it went through the neck the normal way, and it cut, and there was no halada, and there was no drasa, and all that. The psula, no good. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, v'zavachta v'achalta, you shall do the shechita and you shall eat. Masha tazo v'yachata ochal. That which you shecht, you shall eat. So you shecht doesn't mean you personally. Someone else can do the shechita and you can eat it, but it has to be shechted by a person. So the Gemara now says, well, what about if there is no kavana? There was a human action, but there was no intent involved. Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Sugya, in his Drush V'chidush, says, don't confuse the discussion of kavana here with a discussion elsewhere of mitzvos tzrichos kavana, whether mitzvos require kavana. The two are not the same. Because mitzvos tzrichos kavana is a discussion about a situation where I have something I'm obligated to do. The discussion here is going to be about shechita, as well as going to mikvah, which are things which are actions which you engage in if you want to be able to do something else, but theoretically you can go your whole life without doing them and not miss a mitzvah. A person could, he doesn't have to be the shochet. But even still, it's if you want to eat, then shechita must take place. It's not like there's a mitzvah do shechita. I mean, I'm bothered by his second one, going to mikvah. He says, if the man and the woman want to be mutter to each other, he doesn't discuss truma in this line. He only talks about the man and woman wanting to be mutter to each other, then she's going to need to go to mikvah. I thought that was odd, because we do have a concept of tefillah bizmana mitzvah, that there is a mitzvah of going to mikvah on time, but I think that I need to understand that better, and that's a chisaron in him, in me, not in him.
Sounds like just koyach gaper is really all you need.
Well, that's what a Gemara is going to ask. So the Gemara says, Taima.
How does that line up with the arrow one that we just had?
Well, there it has intent.
Well, was he? The arrow just somehow.
Otherwise, why was it? No. Otherwise, why was Rava examining it for Pagan?
Gemara.
No, it's for sure. It's definitely intentional.
Shot the arrow.
Taima the Nafla. So the Gemara says, the reason why. The reason why we're not going to accept in our Mishnah is because it fell. Hahipila hu, but if the person knocked it down, knocked it off the shelf, and it fell, and did a proper shechita kshera, ve'avagav de lo mechaven, apparently, even without intent, man tana de lo boina kavana l'shechita, whose view is it that says that you don't require kavana for a shechita? Omar Rava, Rava says, Rabbi Nosson, he says, that's the view of Rabbi Nosson. Detani, now there are two ways to read this next name, Oshaya Zeira de Min Chavraya, or Oshaya Zeira de Min Chavraya. Rashi says either this was Oshaya, who was the youngest in the Beis Medrash, so he's Oshaya Zeira de Min Chavraya, or alternatively, it's Oshaya Zeira, little Oshaya, who was Min Chavraya of the Chavra in the Bnei Yeshiva, in the Yeshiva, where they're learning. Either way,
Our case is when you don't intend. So he says,
whose view is it that doesn't require kavana? So Rava says it's Rabbi Nosson in the following statement: Zarek sakin lenoatza bekozel. You threw a knife intending to stab it into the wall. You're a knife thrower. You wanted to put the knife away. You check it at the wall. The v'holcha b'shachta kidarka. And it went, and along the way, presto, it cut through and did a proper shechita. Amazing. So the crowd applauds. Rabbi Nosson Machshir. So the Rabbi Nosson says, kasher, this shechita is valid. The assumption here is that not only did you not intend to do a shechita, you didn't even intend to cut anything. Your intent was to stab the knife into the wall. That's all you were trying to do. So Rabbi Nosson says, kasher, v'chamim polislam v'chamim rejected. I mean, we're discussing this case not because this is going to happen. We discuss this case because it teaches us principles. It's a practical difference in terms of whether kavana is required or not. So we need to invent a case, and we invent a case which is a little bit strange. But it works to provide a difference between the different possibilities. So Rabbi Nosson says that this shechita is kosher. So you didn't intend to do shechita, and yet it's going to be accepted. That's like us in our Mishnah. You didn't intend to do the shechita, and it's still valid. Hu tani lava hu amar la halacha Rabbi Nosson. And not only did Rava say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Nosson, but he said that's the halacha. The Gemara then says, but you should know, v'ha'amar Rava chada zimna. Rava already said this in a separate context, that the kavana is not required. Disnan, as the Mishnah says, v'chulen sheshachtu v'acherim roen osan shchitas en kshera. The Mishnah says that if the Chere Shota and Katan, not the Kuti, if the Chere Shota and Katan, who have no das that we are concerned with in Halacha, so if they shecht and others see them, Shchitas and Kshera, the Shchit is Kasher, V'amrinin, and we say over there, Mantana de lo boi Kavana l'shchita. Whose view is it? Who is it who says that you don't require Kavana, that I might accept the Chere Shota and Katan as long as somebody else saw that they did it, right? The Amar Rava, and Rava there said, Rabbi Nosson, it's the view of Rabbi Nosson, so now I have a problem. Why is it that Rava needs to tell me in both cases that this is like Rabbi Nosson, then Rabbi Nosson doesn't require kavana? So when she says, Sricha, you needed both, because I wouldn't have been able to deduce one from the other. Why? Diashmin and Hassam, had you only taught it to me there in terms of the Chere Shota V'Katan, I would have said, Mishum Dekavachavin Lushum Chaticha Ba'olam. At least the Chere Shota V'Katan intend to cut something. They don't understand what Shechita is, but they understand how to cut. That's what they're doing. And I would have said, therefore it's acceptable. Aval hacha, whereas over here, deloka mechavein, there is no intent at all. You're throwing it in order to stab it into the wall, and something got in the way. Emalo, I would have said, that's not an acceptable shechita. And then on the other hand, the yeshmin and hacha, had you taught me just our case of stabbing it into the wall, mishum dekahasi mikach bendas, I would have said it's like bila. It comes from a person who has potential to think. He could have had intent. Aval hasam deloka hasi mikach bendas. But there it's the Chere Shota V'Katan, he doesn't have that level of function that we can discern. Emalo. So therefore, I might say that the Shechita there is no good, even though here we say you don't need intent. Maybe at least you require someone who has the capacity for intent. So Tzricha, therefore you needed to mention both. Yes?
So what about, according to this, are we only looking at Chere Shota V'Katan of Israel? What about
Correct.
Others who... Or from the nations,
so we already said that, right, we said that the Akum is a separate category. Right? We had the discussion, and whatever laws you're going to apply to the Akum, you're going to apply the Chere Shota V'Katan, who's also the Akum. But that presumably will go across the board. He's got the worst of both worlds.
Whatever.
So Rava said, we pass on like Rabbi Nassan. Hu tani lava hu amar la'alach like Rabbi Nassan. He also said, we follow Rabbi Nassan. The Kavana is actually not required. Not only is Kavana not required, it doesn't have to be a bardas. Not only is Kavana not required to be, he doesn't need a bardas, he doesn't need to be even intending to make a cut. Okay. So we take that from Shechita and apply it to going to mikvah also, and then we're going to unite the two discussions. So what about going to mikvah without kavana? Itmar, we learned. Nida shenensa v'tavla. A woman ended up tovling by ones. What ones means we'll see in the end of the sugya. They're going to ask, how does tovling happen by ones? But nida shenensa v'tavla. So Amrav Yudam, Rav tahara lebesa v'asura lechol betruma. So Rav says, she's kosher, she's okay as far as her husband is concerned. The husband and wife can be together, but she can't eat truma. It'll work to permit her to her husband. It won't work for truma purposes. Rabbi Yochanan Rafa Besa Lo Tahara. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it didn't work even for the purpose of being with her husband. Amale Rav L'Rav Nachman. So Rav's sister of Nachman, L'Rav D'Omer Tahara L'Besa V'Asura L'Echol B'Truma. He says, I don't understand. She's mukta to her husband. The iser to her husband ordinarily is a kares iser. And yet you're telling me that she can't eat truma, which is only misa bidei shemayim. Avon kares hutra iser misa mibaya. If you're going to permit kares, you should permit misa bidei shemayim. Misa bidei shemayim is not as bad as kares. Rashi explains, kares, we talk about the person dying young and the person saying it's happy to the person's children, right? Leaving aside the philosophical questions of kares, which are interesting in their own right, the point is that kares is considered worse than misa bidei shemayim. So if it's simply a matter of severity, you're telling me that it's not enough to permit this, it'll only permit that, then your hierarchy is wrong. It should have permitted the truma, not the husband. So, Amar Lei, let me just finish the sentence. Amar Lei, Bala Chulinu. The Chulin lo boi kavana. The answer is because the husband is Chulin. Don't you know it? The husband is Chulin, not Truma. And it's a different standard. Regarding Tahara for Truma, we require that you have Kavana. Regarding Tahara for Chulin, we don't require Kavana. Yes, Matal.
I was asking, why can't Anita eat Truma? She's considered Tame?
Yes, Anita is Tame.
So she's Metame things that she touches?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Go with the first parak in Kalim gives you the whole hierarchy. But yes, she's Matami Mishkov. Umoshav, there's a whole, yes, Anita is Tumeh. Today we don't think of it that way. Because we don't, you know, traffic in Tumeh and Tahara. But yes, she is Tumeh. So the very handy, that first parak in Kalim, to remember the hierarchy of who does what to what. So that's the machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says tevila without kavana doesn't work at all. Rav says it works at least for chulin. It'll work. Like Rabbi Nassan, who says that shechita without kavana is also acceptable. And there also it's going to be a chulin discussion because shechitas kachim of course does require kavana. Okay. So the Gemara says umanat tamra. On what basis do you say that you don't require kavana for chulin? Where did that come from? Disnan. Here's the following Mishnah. Gal shenislash. If a wave gets uprooted from the water, and it falls on somebody, the point is that it was separate from the water, so you're not in the greater body of the ocean now. You're under just the water that fell on you. Worth noting that this wave can actually happen very easily. People think this is hard to imagine, but the truth is, I think I put in a footnote on your sheet, that estimates for 40 sa'ah for a mikvah range from 120 to 150 gallons or so, about 450 to 550 liters. So a normal bathtub holds about half of that. So all you need is a wave with enough water to fill two bathtubs, and potentially you have a kosher mikvah. Yes, a flying mikvah. We had shechita with an arrow.
If it's more than that, it won't be an issue either, right?
What do you mean?
In other words, it's a larger body of water, it should also be...
Well, if she's tovel, then this isn't an issue. The point is she's sitting on the sand, and the wave comes out and washes over her. The kavana being a separate thing, but his point in terms of this is that she dipping in the ocean is different from having the wave come upon you, because dipping in the ocean, you have an intent at least to go into the water.
But not necessarily to be tovel.
And you also have a different size issue. Sorry?
Not
necessarily be terrible, correct.
So, okay for mikvah.
So you still could be okay for mikvah, assuming that kavanah is not required. I mean, this is the classic tshuva from Rav Moshe. Yeah. Right? Ramosha's tshuva on the woman who was a daughter of Anida. And the question was whether she has a pagam now and the Kohen can't marry her or not. So Ramosha discusses, number one, whether that's true, that a Kohen can't marry the daughter of Anida. But separate from that discussion, he says maybe the mother went swimming. And that counted as she went swimming in the ocean, and that counted as her tevila, even without kavana. The Kutzker Rebbe, as explained by Revelia Fisher of the Gerur Kola, quoted in the Margolios Hashas, says that a Rebbe is like a mikvah. If you go to him, so then the kavana can be assumed. Like somebody who goes into the mikvah, we assume the kavana is fine and that the tahara will work. But if he has to come to you, then you have to be, as it says here, as the Gemara is going to use the term, yoshevu mitzape. You have to be sitting and waiting, or else the tahara won't work. It depends on who goes to whom. The Rebbe to the Talmud, or the Talmud to the Rebbe. But in any case, let's read the line.
In the case of the Yarni?
Sorry?
The people who are talking about the Yarni were considered to be talking.
Well, why not? You're going into a body of water.
Right.
The discussion here is the water is separated from it, and you weren't anticipating it. So, galsha nislash, ubar boim sa'a. The wave gets uprooted, and it has the volume for mikvah. The nafal ala adam v'ala kelim. It falls on a person, it falls on kelim. Teharin. This works. End of quote. So, ma'ilav adam dumya de kelim. From the fact that you mention the person and you mention the kelim, we presume that you mean a person who's like kelim. Ma kelim de lo machavni, just like kelim don't have kavana for mikvah. Abadam nami lo boi kavana. So, to the person it's talking about doesn't have kavana either. And yet it works. To which the Gemara says, mimai, on what basis do you say that? Dela b'yoshefu mitzapa askinan. Maybe we're talking about someone who's sitting and anticipating that the wave is going to come. Saying, when is it that this wave, when am I going to get a big wave? The kelim dumya da adam. And it's just the opposite. It's the kelim that are compared to the person. Ma adam de ba'inan kavana. Just like for the adam or debar kavana, just like for the person, we do require kavana. Af kelim nami de kamachave lehu adam. Maybe the kelim also is where the person who put them there intended for them to actually have this. I think it's the intent of the person who put them there, not simply they were there and then someone intended for them to get wet. But I think it's kavana during the maisa. I can't prove that though. But the point for us is that maybe in fact we do. We do require that there be kavana in order for this to work, and therefore you can't prove that you can do tevila without kavana. V'chi tema b'yoshevu mitzapa ma'ile memra, and if you'll tell me, well, if it's somebody sitting there, then what's the chiddush here? Why do you need to teach me this case? Ma'u desema ligzer mishum chardulis shal geshamim, because I might have assumed that we should disqualify it based on chardulis of rain, the Rav Haigon as chardulis, you have rainfall that flows down the mountain. And the question is, can you use this or not? And the answer is no, because it doesn't have a shear for a mikvah. As Rashi explains, you don't have 40 sa'ah in any one place, and the stream of water going down the mountainside is not considered to connect all of those different pieces of water. So I might have thought, disqualify the wave, because you disqualify the waterfall. Inami ligzoration atu kipin. Or I might say, let's disqualify the person who really does sit under the body of the wave, because of the person who only goes through this arch that the wave makes inside the curve, right, like a surfer. It doesn't actually immerse and accept that. And therefore, kamash melon de lo gazrina. Maybe it's talking about no kavana, and it's only meant to teach me that because the person might make the mistake of thinking that it works.
When the water doesn't touch them?
Yeah.
It's not a case of the arch no. connected to...
Look at Rashi. They might be in bekeepin. The end of the Rashi, Mibnei Shu Tevilas Avir, Vein Matvilin Ba'avir.
But isn't that because you're not feeling in a body of water that's not attached to the ground?
Right, I don't think that's what he's saying. I'm fairly sure that's not what he's saying. Because if that were true, then even if you're in the Rosh, it wouldn't be good.
But the Rosh hits the ground. You're in the Rosh when it hits the ground.
You're in the Rosh before it hits the ground. What about the person who's in it when it hits him and then he jumps away before it hits the ground? I mean, it's hard to imagine because you have to get your whole body in it. But I, when I first read it, I thought maybe that way. But the more I read the Rashi, the more I think that it's not what he's saying. That's my feeling.
Then he would think they were being wet, but the water didn't touch them.
People are funny. But that's my sense of it. If you can prove otherwise, I'd love to hear it. But I think that's the way to read the Rashi. So again, our point is that maybe it's talking about kavana, and there is a chiddush even still. Because it's trying to teach me, we accept this even though it's similar to other bodies of water that we don't accept, right? And kamashlon lo gazrinan, but it's talking about kavana, and without kavana won't work.
Tosfos says the gal shenichlash is talking about a gal that's being detached.
Right, but that doesn't help me. We knew that was the case anyway. That's only trying to explain the in Madbilin Barasha and Madbilin Makipin. I would need something compelling in order to read it a different way.
The case of Malim Shein Kafifin is like a flash flood, coming out like the bodies from the mountains and stuff like that. From coming out from the mountains.
No, Roshan and Kipin are parts of the wave. Roshan and Kipin are part of the wave. The Hardalis is, or the Hardalis is. Yeah, again, what we're saying is, we accept the wave. We assumed that the Chiddush here was, even though there's no Kavana. But now we're saying, maybe not. Maybe with no Kavana, it doesn't work. And the Chiddush with the wave is, we accept the wave, even though it's possible for a person to do this wrong, deducing waterfall or doing the wrong part of the wave. And we're saying we accept that anyway. But we do require Kavana. You can't prove anything from here. And by the way, Rashi was just quoting the next line. And how do we know that you can't use the keepin part, the arch part? Disnan, or it should say disanya matbilin b'rashin vein matbilin b'keepin shein matbilin b'avir. So I'm going to translate that as you can do the head of the wave. You can't go underneath the curve of the wave because we don't tovel in air. So now I'm back to square one. Can you prove? How do you know that that you can tovel without intent? Disnan. I'll give you a different source. Peros shenafu tov amas hamayim. Amas hamayim is an irrigation ditch. It's an intentionally cut channel that is an amo wide. And the fruit, the produce falls into it. Upasha misha yadav tameos v'natlan, and someone's hands were tamei, and he extended his hands into the water, and he took the produce out. So yadav tahoros, his hands are tahor because they went into the amas hamayim. Uperos einon bechiyutan, and the produce is not subject to hachshar lakabel tuma. It's not able to receive tuma because it fell in. You didn't intend for it. And the pasuk says bechiyutan mayim al zera, and we understand that there has to be intent for it to get wet, for it to be able to become tamei. But if he puts his hands in so that they should get wet, if that's his goal, he wants his hands to specifically get wet, and he wants the produce in there so that his hands will get wet. That's the idea. He intends when the produce falls in that he's going to get his hands wet. He's going to wash his hands and taking them out. So yadav tahoros, his hands are tahor, uperos bechiyutan, and the peros are able to receive tumah. So the point here is, even though originally the water was not with intent, right? It was that the produce fell in, but now he's happy that his hands are getting washed. That's already good enough for us. It's not that when the produce fell in, he put the produce in so that his hands should get wet. But now that the produce is in, he suddenly has intent, and that's good enough. But the point for us is that when he puts his hands in the first half of this, the first part of this, it was not with intent for them to get wet. It was just to get the produce, and yet they became taller.
Isn't what immersion of the hands a much lower level tefillah? You don't need as much water.
Immersion of the hands is true. It is to cure the Rabbanan. Yes, true. Afal pichein, apparently. But it's a good point.
But it still establishes the principle, right?
I guess. Eisve Raveler of Nachman. We now bring two brisos with which we attempt to defeat the idea of accepting without kavana. There's a very machlokas Rambam and Rashba, by the way, on the produce, pointing out that this may not be the owner of the produce, and you require the das of the owner in order for the produce to become tamei. But following our sugya, Eisve Raveler of Nachman, Rava challenges Rav Nachman. He says, "You're going to accept without kavana." We learned taval lechulin v'huchzak lechulin asur lemeiser. If a person goes to mikvah planning that he's only going to eat chulin, and huchzak lechulin, that was his kavana that we established. His intent is for chulin. Then he's not allowed to eat meiser sheni. End of quote. So huchzak in, lo huchzak lo. We don't care about the meiser sheni piece of the discussion. We care about the chulin part. And we said it works because he's muchzak for chulin. He established his kavana. That means that doing it without kavana would not work. To which he says, "Hachi kiamar." No, this is what it meant to say. Aval pishuch zeklechulin asur lemaiser. Toveling for chulin would work even without kavana. Our point is that even if you did have kavana for chulin, it still won't work for maiser sheni. Eisvei, a second similar attempt, we learned tava v'lo huchzak ki'ilu lo taval. If a person went to mikvah and did not have his kavana established, it's as though he didn't go. So my lav ki'ilu lo taval klal, doesn't that mean it's as though he didn't go at all? And therefore, even for chulin, he's no good because there was no kavana? Well, not necessarily. Ki'ilu lo taval lemaiser, aval taval lechulin. It's as though he hasn't gone to mikvah for maiser sheni. However, the tefillah does work for chulin. Hu savar dechuye kamadchile. He, Rava, when he challenged Rav Nachman with this question, thought that Rav Nachman was just pushing him off. But then Nafak Dak Ashkach Desanya Tava Lohuchzak Mutter Lachulin Vasir Lamaiser. He actually went out and he learned and he found another edition of the Brisa that said it explicitly. Tava Lohuchzak Mutter Lachulin. He is fine for Chulin. It's only that it doesn't work for Meiser Sheni purposes. Okay, now I have an actual Brisa. Now I have a brisa that says, Tava v'lo huchzak, you didn't have kavana, it still works for chulin. So now I want to know the other side. We've had another side all along that said you must have kavana in order for this to work. What does he do with this brisa? Amalei abailer of Yosef. So Abai says to Rabbi Yosef, Lemet tehebeti yuvti de Rabbi Yochanan meha. Will this then be a proof against Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan said, you require kavana. Amar Lei Rabbi Yochanan Huda Amar Rabbi Yonasan Ben Yosef. He says no, it's a machlokas tanoim, and Rabbi Yochanan has his own tana on whom to depend. Rabbi Yonasan Ben Yosef, Tesanya, as the Brisa says, Rabbi Yonasan Ben Yosef Omer Vichubas regarding Mitzora. The pasuk says Vichubas Chenis Vitaher, his clothing will be washed a second time Vitaher and Obitar. So the I think it's the clothing. So Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef says, Matam alomar shenis. Why does the pasuk say a second time? Makish tichboses shniel tichboses rishona. It links the second time to the first time. Ma tichboses rishona ladas. Av tichboses shniel ladas. Just like the first washing is with intent, with the person's intent, Rashi explains, because the pasuk says, Vitziva hakohen v'chivsu. The kohen will instruct, and they will launder. So too, the second one has to be with intent. That's his source for acquiring kavana for tevila. Ima lahalin b'inan das kohen afkan b'inan das kohen. So then maybe it should be the kohen davka, because the first one was with the kohen's intent specifically. Tamalomer v'taher mikomakom. The word v'taher, and it shall be tahor, teaches me mikomakom in any case with anybody's kavana. We reduce the level of our requirement. We don't require the kohen. So Rabbi Yochanan requires kavana based on Rabbi Yonasan bar Yosef. To which Maskeblu Rav Simi Barashi, Rav Simi Barashi asked, Do me Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi? Rabbi Yochanan really believes that? He requires Kavana? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halachak is Stam Mishnah. We know Rabbi Yochanan follows Stam Mishnayos, Mishnayos that are unattributed. Utnan, and I have a Stam Mishnah that says, Navla Sakin Vishachta, Aval Bishachta Kedarka Psula. That if the knife falls in shechs, even if it shechs normally, it's still puzzle. Vavinon ba, and we challenge that and say, Taima de Nafla. The reason it's puzzle is because the knife fell without anybody propelling it. Hai Pilahu, but if he made it fall, sure, it's going to be kosher. End of quote. Vyavagandalocha Mechavein, even though you didn't intend anything. So Kavan is not required in our Stam Mishnah. V'aminan mantana de lo boi kavana l'shchita. And we say, who is it who doesn't require kavana? Avama Rava. And Rava said, Rabbi Nasani, right? Like a whole discussion that we just had on the first side. But the point is, I don't understand. Rabbi Yochanan told me regarding mikvah that kavana is required. But I have a Stam Mishnah here, regarding shchita, which says kavana is not required. So, what's the deal? To which the answer is, B'shchita afilu Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef. His patron Tana, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, will agree regarding shchita. You've been assuming all along that the same rules apply to shchita and to tevila. Rabbi Yochanan will not necessarily do that. He'll say, that's a different story. Why? For the fact that the Torah needs to say specifically that regarding karbanos, if you're involved without kavana, it's no good. You see that chulin does not require kavana. That's Rabbi Yochanan's view. the Rabbanan, and what do the Rabbanan say back? Nihi delo ba'inan kavana lezvicha, lachaticha ba'inan. You may not require kavana for shchita, for chulin, but you do require kavana to cut. Right? Like our previous discussion about hurling the knife. The Amar Rava, and Rava says, Zachinhu Rabbi Nasan l'Rabbanan. With this, Rabbi Nasan defeated the Rabbanan. Miksiv v'chatachta, the Pasuk doesn't say v'chatachta, v'zavachta ksiv. Yeah, it says, you shall shecht. Iba inan kavana l'chaticha, filiz v'chanami liboy. Either you require kavana, in which case it's not enough to have it for cutting, it has to be for shechting. Ilobin kavana l'zvicha l'chaticha nami liboy. And if you don't require kavana for shechting, you don't require kavana for cutting either. It's either all or nothing. That's the way that he responded. That term zacha for victory is like in the Haggadah, yeah. Right? The Gemara Brachos, right? Lo zachisi shetayame yitzias mitzrayim lalelos. It means I wasn't victorious. The heichidami nida shenansa v'tavla. The last piece of the discussion. We said the Nida went to mikvah, and by force, she was compelled to. What does that mean? If it's the literal meaning, somebody took her and grabbed her and put her in the mikvah, her friend's kavana counts. That's intent to immerse something, or in this case, someone. There is a side discussion about negative kavana if you don't want to go in. We're going to stick with what we have here literally. Further, she could even eat truma if somebody pushes her in. Tisnan, because the Mishnah says, Hachareshes v'ashota, a woman who is deaf and mute, or a person who is mentally incompetent, v'asuma, or she's blind, the blind woman is brought here because she can't properly check herself before going to mikvah. V'shenitrafa daita, or a woman who is very confused. The imyeshlahen pikchos mitaknos osad, if they have women who are able to check them, for the Suma's case, and in general for these women who aren't able to check themselves, so if a woman prepares them, ochlos betruma, they're even able to eat truma. So what do you mean? Even for truma, they're fine. Kavana by somebody else who immerses them works. So what's your Nansa case? So Amar of Papa, Rav Papa said, Rabbi Nasan shenafla min hagesher. He said, if you take Rabbi Nasan, who says that kavana for nothing is required, then it could be she's walking on a bridge and she fell in. L'Rabbanan, that's so funny for her. L'Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, who say you require kavana at least partially for the action, even if not for the mitzvah. So she yarda l'akir. She intended to go in to take a dip in order to cool off a little bit, and then she fell the rest of the way, and her whole body immersed. She hadn't intended to go all the way in. So that's your case of the nida shenansa. That's the idea. We'll pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow.